This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
All right, Nila was talking about supply chains. So a word here about cargo, the guts of the global economy, getting stuff from point A to point B so that it can be bought and sold. Containerized shipping on boats, we talk about all the time. That's how most stuff gets to and from the United States and a bunch of other places. Air cargo, we talk about every now and then. That is more global. In Europe, rail is real popular. Catch is, though, along with Russian airspace being off limits, a lot of logisticians have stopped using the rail network that goes through Russia to get goods from China to Europe. Just 2% or so of the stuff on that route gets shipped by rail, but it is the high-margin stuff, the car parts and the computers and things like that. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab is our cargo correspondent for today.
There have been a lot of disruptions in global shipping over the last couple years. There was the Great Boat Watch of 2021, when that container ship got stuck in the Suez Canal, and there was a surge in demand for goods in general, which clogged ports and sent shipping prices from China to Europe through the roof. Jan Franso is a professor of operations management at Tilburg University in the Netherlands.
So ocean freight, typically pre-COVID, maybe you paid $1,500.
That's per shipping container.
And then in this panic last year, this could go over 10,000 in some cases.
So companies wanted to become less dependent on waterways and find a cheaper alternative. And what's an alternative to sea? Land.
What we've actually seen is that the share of rail has really increased quite a bit.
Most of these rail routes go right through Russia, where train freight increased 40% last year. And as the price of shipping by sea has gone up, shipping by train has become more affordable. It's also fast. A journey from China to Europe that takes 40 days by ship may take as little as 15 by train. Of course, the war complicates all of this. Ian Cullingham is with AIT Worldwide Logistics, a transportation management company.
By choice, a lot of customers we've seen now move away from the rail. In fact, some have even said they don't want to move rail for the foreseen future.
Shipping by air isn't an ideal alternative. For starters, it's much more expensive. And because of the war, planes are taking longer routes to avoid Russian and Ukrainian airspace. This means planes can't turn around as fast and have to carry more fuel for their longer trips, which leaves them less space for cargo. So Cullingham says the prices are in constant flux.
We'd love to get back into that position where we can just at least go back to a customer and say, OK, we can get you a rate for 3 months. It's not going to change. But the way the market is currently, we just can't do that.
The strain created by the war is increasing demand for shipping through whatever land, air, and sea routes are left. And this will affect how much goods cost, not just in Europe. Willie Shi is a professor of management practice at Harvard.
We live in a connected world. So prices and costs in one part of the world, as they really rise dramatically, they affect everybody, whether we like it or not.
He says if shipping prices between Asia and Europe climb, cargo companies will also raise the cost of shipping to the U.S. Meanwhile, the manufacturers that make these goods, they're not only going to increase prices for European consumers. They'll spread the pain out evenly across the world. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.